Welcome to Intuitive Bites Podcast. I'm your host, Kirsten Ackerman, the Intuitive RD. I'm a non-diet registered dietitian and intuitive eating coach. My mission is to help women recover from diet culture and heal their relationship to food and body. Follow along as I speak with leading professionals in the field and explore concepts of intuitive eating, health at every size, and body liberation.
This episode of Intuitive Bites Podcast is brought to you by Workweek Lunch. This is something that has been a lifesaver for me. Workweeklunch.com has an amazing, affordable meal planning tool that's all about saving you time, effort, and money when it comes to your meals so you can get more out of life. We all know how meal planning can be a bit overwhelming, especially when you're trying to figure out where it fits in while working on your relationship with food with intuitive eating. That's where workweeklunch.com shines. With easy-to-follow, delicious meal plans, it takes the guesswork out of what to cook and helps you focus more on enjoying your food. What I personally love about Workweek Lunch is how it simplifies decision-making around food in the moment. No more decision fatigue about meals leading to grazing throughout the day and ultimately not feeling good. Workweek Lunch makes your life easier, giving you back those precious hours for things you love beyond the kitchen. If you're ready to get organized with your food in a way that supports, not hinders, your relationship with food, head over to workweeklunch.com/intuitive-bites for 5 of my favorite meal prep recipes that will help you totally rethink what it means to meal plan. Save time, enjoy your food, and take the stress out of mealtime with Workweek Lunch. Hey guys, welcome to episode 173 of Intuitive Bites. Today I'm chatting with Abby Atwood, who you may know from Instagram as Abby Atwood Wellness, and we're talking all about debunking common diets. So if you are somebody who's been on all of the diets and you kept kind of being pulled back to them and you felt like you have failed, quote unquote, over and over and over again, this really is for you today, and we're going to be talking right to you and talking about why these really do not work. Before we dive into the episode with Abby, I also want to let you guys know that I'm currently in enrollment for my spring cohort of the Food and Body Peace program. So the top 3 things that I work on with clients in this program are 1, stopping overeating behavior, whether that's mindless eating, boredom eating, emotional eating, just general overeating behavior. We are going to stop that behavior. 2, we're going to work on guilt and shame around food, and really stop you from thinking about food all the time, beating yourself up around food all the time, and just clear up some of that mental capacity for you to focus on other areas of your life. And the 3rd thing that is at the top of the list of things that I work on with clients in this program is prioritizing your health and well-being in a way that is actually sustainable and values aligned and is really gonna be for the long term, okay? And it's in a way that doesn't trigger diet mentality and restrictiveness and all of these things that you've really learned when it comes to taking care of yourself that have completely backfired. So if you're in a place where you're ready to dive into getting support, I highly encourage you to reach out as soon as possible, get your application in. Spots are already filling into this program, and I'm only accepting applications through March 21st, which is this upcoming Thursday. I'm going to leave the link below here for you to submit your application, or you can go over to my Instagram at @theintuitive_RD, and you'll find the link in my bio there as well. All right, guys, let's go ahead and listen into my conversation with Abby. Okay, welcome, Abby. Can you please share a little bit about yourself and the work that you do?
Yeah. So you and I were just talking about where we live now. You being in the East Coast, I'm in California now. I grew up in Maine though. So I'm currently missing snow though. Mm-hmm. It's, as we were saying, less and less these days, the snow. But yeah, I live in the Bay Area, outside of San Francisco with my husband and my doggies. Mm-hmm. And I have a private practice. So I do nutrition and body image counseling, and I do a lot of group coaching programs as well, but it's all through the lens of weight inclusivity, anti-diet culture, and really rooted in like a self-compassionate approach to food and body, and a trauma-informed approach. So I basically feel like the luckiest person ever because I love what I do, but I also say that I hope that one day I don't have a job. I hope no one has use for these services at some
Great.
point.
I love that. Yeah, it's funny. I just ran a masterclass this morning, just like an intro to intuitive eating. And I was talking a little more about my story and getting into this work. And I was like, man, I really want to know what I would have done if I didn't go into nutrition because I was like so obsessed with food and body and like really struggling in my own way. But at the same time, I'm so glad that like I got to where I am because like I'm doing the work that I love and it's amazing to do. But it's just interesting, right? It's like, where else might I have been led? But I'm curious here, like how you got into this work. Like what led you here?
No, that's a great question. And it resonates deeply what you just said about like, where would I have been? I guess I could, this could be like a multiple hour long story, but I'll give you some like short and sweet bullet points. Although I'm not short and sweet as a human. That's why I podcast. I guess it's, I think like, a bunch of factors for me in my life led to an eating disorder. About 15 years ago. And I kind of, when I think about that, I really think about it being like I grew up as an athlete, and the athlete identity eventually kind of catapulted me into being in community with people who it were just, you're just at higher risk, especially as a female athlete for disordered eating, right? It's very normalized, it's praised, especially like orthorexic kind of tendencies around food, but also like body ideals in sports, right, can really put you at risk for that too. So that was one piece, but I'm also a human who's had anxiety their whole life, right? And I think that personality was like I just kind of had this perfect storm of personality factors that led me to being more susceptible to it. And then the third factor that I say is like kind of I have many chronic illnesses, many different autoimmune diseases, and as you probably know very well, especially in like the early 2000s, which was, when was this was happening for me, wellness culture was on the rise around foods to eliminate for autoimmune disease, and we could go down a whole rabbit hole about how harmful that is and how it lacks evidence and nuance and so much more, but that. Kind of those three factors, like athletic identity, anxiety, and I struggled really hard with panic attacks at the time, and so it just all led to this disordered relationship with food, and body and exercise, So when I eventually got help, I started just exploring more what it meant, what diet culture meant, like what it meant to live in a way that felt truly healthy for you as an individual versus what society says. And I stumbled into like health at every size, intuitive eating, all this stuff. And what was cool for me actually, which sounds maybe different than your experience, is that I then went back to graduate school for nutrition once I'd already decided like, oh, I want to do this from a body liberation anti-diet
That is
perspective.
cool. Yeah, that's
So I
interesting.
wasn't in a nutrition and dietetics program with the disordered eating mindset. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, yeah, that's
I was
totally
there
different.
with like, I don't want that. But as
Yeah.
you know, I mean, a majority of the people that you're in school with have that mindset. So that was rough to just watch it and witness it during
Even
graduate
though you
school.
weren't in that place, you were
Yes.
surrounded by people, which is good, like very like, yeah, can kind of bring you back. I feel
And
like.
it's scary too. It's scary as a practitioner to see how many people are providers, of course, because we're humans too, but how many people out there are supporting humans who have their own disordered relationship with food? And that's really scary. And that's what kind of can perpetuate a lot of this.
Yes. I feel like it's important for people listening to hear that too. Like if they've had negative experiences with people in the healthcare field in general, but certainly people in like the nutrition or fitness space, like, yeah, like just knowing that like people in that space are more susceptible to their own disordered behaviors. So, yeah, it's just unfortunate the way it is.
And to your point, like a lot of times those people seek out those career paths because they have a disordered relationship, because they're so obsessed, and then the education only furthers it and steeps them further into it,
It's a mess. It's an
It
absolute
is total chaos.
But I am glad to hear that. I don't know if like the program that you went back to felt like it was like, I'm assuming like you picked a program that was pretty su supportive for like a weight inclusive lens or
I
not.
tried. I
Okay.
tried. But I
Hard.
mean, what can we do, right? Like, so
Yeah.
much of it is steeped in like this really Eurocentric idea of like healthy eating and
Oh.
weight stigma and anti-fat bias and just assuming that, weight loss is important or even possible and that there are certain ways of eating that can help people with that. It's just all steeped in it, no matter where you go.
I know it's like the foundation of those
Yeah.
programs. Okay, so let's get into the topic of today, which is basically debunking some of kind of the common diets. But I'm curious to hear from you, like off the bat, like obviously a lot of the folks that you and I work with that are following our content have been on diet after diet after diet for years, and they're on the wagon, they're off the wagon, whatever, ups and downs. So a lot of them are left to feel like they have failed in some way. Like, why do I keep failing all of these diets? I have my career under control. I've got all these other things going really, really well, and yet I can't sort out this food thing and just like get it under control. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts on like what you would say to that person.
Well, I would first say it makes sense why you feel that way. Like everything you feel is valid because we live in a world that has taught us that our bodies are wrong. And so we've been taught to feel shame. And then that same system has sold us a quote unquote solution to that shame and the fact that, here's a way to fix your body. Here's a way for you to finally feel like you belong, like you're lovable, like you're desirable, like you're worthy. And by the way, when you get this body, you're going to be happy and healthy, and your life's going to be awesome. And you'll never have any of the symptoms that come along with being a human being in the world, right?
Right.
And so we get sold all these different ways to quote unquote fix this quote unquote problem that was sold to us to begin with. And then inevitably, it doesn't work. It doesn't work on so many levels. Physically, we know it doesn't work, like weight loss long term, right? We know that the failure rate is roughly, 98%. And when we say failure rate, we mean you're unable to keep the weight off long term. And that's not your fault. That is because the diet industry is built on like this model of repeat customers because it doesn't work. And then they sell you the next one. And then you're caught in that hamster wheel that you were just describing. And then you are just, it piles more shame on top of the shame you were sold in the first place. So I would say it makes sense why you feel that way. You did not fail. Actually, everything your body has done to try to get you back to a place where it feels safe has been in the interest of your survival. So every time you gain weight after restricting, dieting, doing the quote unquote elimination protocol, whatever you want to call it, that was your body saving your life. It was saying, I don't feel safe here. I need support, and I'm going to adjust and do everything I possibly can metabolically to make sure that happens.
Yeah, it blows my mind, right? To like, yeah, think about all of the ways that your body is kind of fighting back and pushing back. And these are things that like people blame themselves for, right? Like, I'm
Yes.
constantly thinking about carbs. Oh my God. And I'm being driven to like eat a whole bag of chips and like then go to the ice cream. And like all of these behaviors that are like, oh my God, why can't I have this willpower and self-control are actually your body like trying to feel safe again and get back to that place of like comfort. Yeah, and it's trying to shift your weight back to where it was when it did feel that safety.
Exactly. And knowing that that looks different for everybody. And that's why body diversity is very real. And that the diet industry, again, is built on this idea that there's a body type that everyone should have and
Right.
everyone should be able to attain. And that's just simply not the case. I mean, that has never been true in the history of the world. Diverse bodies have always existed, whether that's weight, race, sexuality, gender identity, like it has always been that way. And
Right.
it's so violent that we're taught anything else.
Yes, totally. I know. I mean, that's another thing I reflect on, and I'm like, we all have different shoe sizes and hair color,
Yes.
hair textures and skin colors and height. And it's like, How have we been brainwashed?
I
Like, the first
know.
question has
It's
been so
so
real,
brainwashing. Yeah.
right? Of
I
like,
always think about dogs. I give a doggies as an
yes.
example. Like, I tell my clients, I'm like, think about all the different breeds of dogs. And like, you know, it's not possible to starve one of them down. You know, if you have like a Great Dane and a, you know, little Chihuahua, like, you know, it's not possible. Like, but we
Yes.
don't accept that with human beings. And I think that's really what this is all about, is really understanding none of us are broken to begin with. None of us, our bodies aren't wrong to begin with. Like, they exist the way they exist for a reason. And what if the purpose of our life is not to change that, control that, mess with it, but actually to live in our body, right? Just to live.
Yes. Oh my gosh, such a good point. Okay, so let's get into like a little bit of specifics here. So I think Weight Watchers, WW, whatever, is a big one that like a lot of clients that come to work with me have been on at some point, or their mom has been on it or whatever. So what are your initial thoughts on, yeah, Weight Watchers?
Well, yeah, I think it's like one of the gateways for most people, you know? I mean, particularly if you're of a certain generation, but I agree with you. I would say it's one of the first diets that most of my clients ever tried. And if they didn't identify with being on it specifically, like, they went to a meeting with their mom at some point, or, you know, or ended up counting points. I think Weight Watchers has tried to like shift their business model over the last few years, you know, WW and rebrand and try to like take the emphasis off of weight, but it still centers on weight loss. And I think what's really interesting about Weight Watchers lately is obviously what they're doing in the Ozempic space and the weight loss drug. Like,
Right.
I think it's interesting for a lot of reasons. Like, first, it completely discredits like their whole movement, like, towards, you know, wellness rather than weight loss. Like, they're investing in a business that's literally about just making people lose weight through
Right.
medication. But the other thing that's interesting and just ironic about it is that it's almost like they're saying their program doesn't work at all. Like, because it's kind of like, oh yeah, you failed at dieting, but here's why, and here's what you actually need.
Yeah.
So I think that's
That is
interesting
bizarre.
too.
Right. It's like,
Yeah.
oh, let's like bring in this like medication because
Yeah.
the program that we've been saying, like, it works if you stick to it, it's
Yeah.
not working for actually a lot of people. But let's just
Right.
do this because this will make us money now. It really,
Right.
yeah, icky.
Right. It's super icky, and I think it's confusing too, because they've always been on like the points thing, but ultimately it's about restrictive eating at the end of the day. It always has been. It's categorizing foods as good or bad. It's giving you this sense of like what's morally okay to eat or not. And it also is one of those first kind of programs that really, I feel like, instilled the like food and exercise exchange system for people, right? Like, earning your food, you could get more points by if you
Right.
moved your body. And so that becomes a lot of folks who are trying to heal their relationship with food don't realize until they dig into it how disordered their relationship has become with movement because of what they've been taught about earning your food through movement, right? So I
Yeah.
think that's another thing that it did for a lot of folks.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, right? And it's like, oh man, why can't I uncouple this like movement
Right.
to
It's
this part?
crazy. Why
Yeah.
can't, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. No, it's so damaging. It really, really is. But I have so much compassion for everyone. I mean, I remember using their app like when I was, you know, younger, and it definitely started making me think differently about the foods that I chose. And I mean, for a while I remember just like not being able to get points out of my head even after no longer doing it, because you just have these stupid numbers memorized, and it's so hard to just peacefully eat when you have all of these negative associations with
Right. You
food,
can't
right?
unlearn that stuff, right? I hear
Right,
so many folks too,
right.
whether it's like measurements or whatever, anything.
Calories or
Calories.
macros or, yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's like
Yeah.
you're trying to eat peacefully, and yet this stuff is just coming into your head. Okay, what are your thoughts around Noom? Because I feel like that's been like, don't they literally say it's like Weight Watchers for millennials or something? I think
Yeah.
that's
Well, you know what I think? You know what I think my least favorite thing about Noom is how much they harp on not being a diet. And then the,
Yeah.
well, the, and there's two things. So that's the first thing. And then I get ads literally from Noom being like, lose weight with Noom. And I'm like, what? How is this not a, like, how are you even possibly claiming you're not a diet when your advertisements are about weight loss? The second thing that I think actually, like, it's not ha-ha to me. It makes me really, really angry as a provider in this field. But they use this phrase, eating psychology.
Yes.
So they there's like this there's like some catfishing going on with their, not like that's new to any diet. But they reel people in, and I've even had clients who I've worked with for a long time come to me and be like, and be confused by Noom. Oh, is this going to help me with my quote, emotional eating, my relationship with food? So they're co-opting some language around like mental health with food that, and then prescribing a diet, like they're prescribing, you know, caloric intakes that are like at the level of a toddler. And then they're, you know, they do the whole stoplight food system, right? It's like the good, bad food all over again,
Other
under
brand.
the guise of, yeah, we'll help you have an emotionally healthy relationship with food. And folks who have been, you know, exploring intuitive eating or anti-diet culture, like Noom is literally using that in their SEO. Like that's popping up for folks, you know? So I think it's a sneaky one, and it's one that makes me really angry. It also, I believe, was all completely developed by like tech bros. I don't quote me on that. I don't know. Do you
I
know,
don't.
like it wasn't by like even dietitian, not that that can even help often, but I believe it was just like these tech bros
I
that
completely
created
believe
this.
it, but now I'm gonna have to look it up.
I know, I'm gonna have to
Yeah.
look that up too.
Makes sense. But yeah, it's a really good point, right? It's like, and I've heard that from so many people, even coming to me, they're like, wait, but like, is Noom okay? Because it seems like, right? And there's just so much confusion with diets in general being sneaky like that, but I can see how Noom especially has. Yeah, co-opted.
Yeah, I mean it. Yeah, at the end of the day, it is like you said. I love that you said it's Weight Watchers for like it's doing the same thing. It's emphasizing food choices that are low calorie at the end of the day. That's what it's doing. Like,
Describing low
and
calorie diets and doing the, yeah, good, bad foods, like.
right. And good and bad foods are often just code for low calorie. Right. So I mean, it's just, it's an ick. It gets an ick from me.
Exactly. Okay. I guess, yeah, thank you for everything you shared today. I guess for the person listening that's like, oh my gosh, you guys are speaking to me. I have done all the diets, I've been on all the things, I've felt like a failure. What are kind of what's your last piece of advice for that person listening right now?
I think like a lot of this healing your relationship with food and healing your relationship with your body is really about starting to practice more self-compassion and trust yourself instead of another program, influencer, diet out there, right? So whether it's Noom telling you that they have some scientifically proven way for you to have a better relationship with food, and by the way, undercurrent, you'll lose weight, right? Same with Weight Watchers, same with intermittent fasting, like you name it. I think the primary question to ask yourself when you're seeing these things out there is like, is this bringing me closer to myself? Is this helping me trust my own body? Or is it teaching me more new and different ways to outsource the wisdom of my body to somebody else, somebody who doesn't know me, who doesn't know my needs? Because at the end of the day, the only thing out there that can really tell you what you need is your body. And so anything that's teaching you ways of eating with rules is disconnecting you from your body, is disconnecting you from your own innate knowing and understanding of what you like, what you enjoy, what you have access to, what satisfies you, what brings you pleasure. And And by the way, it demonizes pleasure at every turn, you know? So I think really zooming out and thinking about like, what kind of relationship do I want to have with myself? How do I want that to reflect my values? How do I treat other people? And why do I think I deserve to be treated with less compassion, less kindness, less respect? And that you're not broken. And that none of these things work. None of them work. And they've failed you. You have never failed them. And you deserve a relationship with food that can just truly come from within. And it's that it's possible, right? I think it can feel really impossible. You and I both know that. I'm sure you get that all the time. Like it can feel so far away and intangible, but that it's possible and that it's never too late. I get folks all the time who are like, Abby, it's just, I'm in my 70s. I'm like,
This.
is this even at this point, is it even worth it? Like, am I too effed up? And I'm like, no. It's never too late, right? Like, absolutely never. And there is like healing, recovery, whatever word resonates for you, available. And it's always worth it to return to yourself, no matter what.
Oh, love that. I know that's going to resonate for so many people. Thank you for everything you've shared today. Can you please tell everyone where they can find you online and any offerings that you currently have available?
Yeah, I'm mostly on Instagram, because I only have the brain space for one social media app. Like, I can't do the TikTok. I don't think I'm cool enough for TikTok, honestly.
Trying to be cool enough for TikTok, but I feel the same. I'm like, oh, I'm
it's
hard.
just so much. I'm sure there's a way for me to just easily repost things, but maybe one day. So I'm on Instagram. I'm just at Abby Atwood Wellness on Instagram. My website is abbyatwoodwellness.com. And I'm trying to think in terms of what I have going on. I mean, I do one-on-one counseling. I have a bit of a wait list, but I also do group counseling, which is probably my favorite, just because of it's just like the most magical experience to be in community with others who are going through this. And I have, I guess by the time this comes out, the next one will be in like May, June of 2024. So you can go to my website to learn more about that. It's just a 10-week program. And yeah, it really gives me life. It's like definitely the most meaningful thing that I do, I think. Yeah.
Oh, the group work is awesome. Well,
Yeah,
thank
it is.
you, Abby. Thanks for sharing where people can find you. And yeah, thanks again for being here today.
Yeah, it was so nice to chat with you.
You too. All right, guys, that's a wrap on episode 173 with Abby Atwood. Don't forget to go follow her over on Instagram at Abby Atwood Wellness. And also, do not delay getting your application in for the Food and Body Peace program. Our spring cohort is starting up in just a few weeks, and I'm only accepting applications through Thursday, March 21st, which is just a few days after this episode is releasing. I'm going to leave that link below as well as over on my Instagram, and reach out with any questions that you have. I'm happy to answer them. All right, guys, I hope you have a great week, and I'll talk to you soon.